Before we get to this week's edition of The Wiggle Room, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at BetOnline. There's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, BetOnline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back with the UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and soccer all leading the way. And BetOnline has the best odds / lines for the upcoming games and matches if you need more. BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening every day live for you to check out. If you're looking for something else other than sports, BetOnline also has hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and all the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag or use your mobile device and join now to receive your new welcome bonus and start playing today. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Visit BetOnline.ag and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Josh. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Do the wiggle, man.
I'll do the wiggle, man. Yeah, that's right, Wiggle Room, and we are wiggling through time and space here as we're going to talking about San Juan del Sur episode 40 here with a man who is basically a badass, the great Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's weird. I sort of just like show up to these podcasts and these Survivor episodes throw themselves at me and I don't even do anything. It's kind of a curse.
Yes. All right. Josh Wiggler is back.
I'm in a great mood because we're talking about Survivor San Juan del Sur.
Yeah, good.
Which I contend, I think that was the best season of Rob as a podcast.
Best season of Rob as a podcast? Yeah,
very,
wow.
Very, very high up there. That was like, the Missy and Baylor stuff was a lot of a lot of low-hanging fruit in terms of the content there. With the sticky situation of it all, the Who is Muffin Gate was iconic. Just a lot of
what does Muffin think though?
Who's Muffin?
I think that was the season where like you really fell in love with the soundboard.
That was the season that I got the soundboard software.
Yeah, but because it was so, not that you've like shied away from the soundboard, like you're still deep in it. But I think. I don't know. I think like you never forget your first, and like you fell in love with the soundboard, and I think you were really wielding it with that with great power, if not great responsibility. And I just remember it being a great time listening to the podcast.
Yeah, it was a train wreck season. I mean, especially like in the first half of the season, I think that the family member casting choice, having to cast two people from the same family, led to a lot of like oddball casting choices in this season. Tony in Cagayan had given us the opportunity to like try to play a lot of sounds, but then in San Juan del Sur, I ended up looking into software that would allow me to access the sounds quicker. So 2014, all in all, overall, a great year for Rob as a podcast and podcasting. In going back to late 2019, I ranked the 10 years of Survivor where I had covered Survivor for Rob as a podcast. 2019 was dead last decade.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
But the top spot was 2014.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense as well. Just a lot of very fond memories of like going back and watching Survivor San Juan del Sur for this week.
This was so much fun.
I mean, it was the first time I'd watched it in a while. And like there are some people on the season that either like outright are or very likely are problematic in many ways. And yet it is sort of like this train wreckiness that like brings me back in sense memory to like this nostalgic time. And I really this season, you know, cue the didgeridoo and slap on the wombat wristbands to get us to travel back in time. But I really did feel it. Like I felt for like 40 minutes while I was watching an episode of Survivor San Juan del Sur, I felt like a younger me. I felt like, you know, 29-year-old Josh Wiggler watching Survivor, which is what I was at the time.
Yeah, season 29-year-old Josh Wiggler.
Yeah, I know. Going on season 30-year-old Josh Wiggler the following year.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go back and take you through episode number 4 of San Juan del Sur in just a moment. Busy weekend on the podcast. Josh Wigler and I actually got to speak with Miles Nye. That was a fun podcast where Miles took us through his own adaptation of Survivor the Musical. Mm-hmm. And we listened to several original songs from his 2003 UCLA project, which was Survivor the Musical. That was fun to get to catch up with you midweek, Josh.
Yeah, based on the Marquesa.
Yes.
A lot of music numbers to draw on based on the episode we watched for A Wiggle Through Time last week.
Yeah. Also, over the weekend, Robin Akiva recorded a bop that slaps, the song of the summer, with the great Will from America, No Stranger to the Wand Off. And then we dropped the Talking with T-Bird on you last night. Heidi Hamels, a.k.a. Heidi Strobel.
Yeah. When Heidi got on the line, you instantly knew it was her, right?
We instantly knew.
Yeah.
We instantly knew it was her. So a great job from T-Bird so far. Talking with T-Bird Season 2, Tom Westman and Heidi Hamels.
T-Bird's on fire.
She's on fire.
T-Bird's doing a lot of great work right now.
Mm-hmm. So, great job there. But, as Jeff Probst once jammed with the Dragons on a didgeridoo, so too we must travel back in time.
You okay?
Yeah.
You got that?
I got into something and I couldn't get out of it.
All right, we'll travel back in time.
Okay.
I believe that's called stopping down and editing, but we don't have to do that right now.
We don't need to edit. We've got a time-traveling didgeridoo. Actually, we have time-traveling slap bracelets that make the sound of a didgeridoo.
I gotta be honest, if we actually have access to time travel, we are wielding it very irresponsibly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is not what we should be doing with this technology.
All right, that being said, let's go back to 2014. Okay, here we are. So we're ready to talk
about...
All right,
so we're getting in the back seat and letting Missy drive us back through the DeLorean to 2014.
Well, this is fun because while the first three episodes that we talked about here in this series were classic episodes from the early days of Survivor, this is the first time that we're talking about a modern episode of Survivor, one from the existence of Rob as a podcast. Original air date was October 15th, 2014 for We're a Hot Mess.
Yeah, and indeed they were. Indeed they were. Indeed one specific person really was.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like we've been talking classic Survivor for the first 3 weeks. Now we're talking like a modern classic. Because I think like the Ballad of Drew Christie has become legendary. Almost bigger than the episode itself is like the idea of the fall of Drew Christie. So how does like the actual episode and its components hold up to the legend of this guy who declares himself basically a badass and a master manipulator of this game, throwing a challenge to take out who he perceived to be the biggest threat in his entire tribe, which seemed absolutely ridiculous at the time to the viewer, because this was a person who never said a word, Kelly Wentworth. I don't know if you heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
How does the legend of this all exploding in this person's face and getting him voted out, how does the actual execution of the episode hold up to the legend, I think was, for me, among the big questions coming into it this week.
Yeah, this was great. And I have to say that, Josh, with the benefit of time that we are now five some odd plus years later, I think the question was Drew Christie actually a genius ahead of his time?
Yeah. So when I did my preseason articles for Survivor Cambodia, I did them all as sort of like little like short stories, basically profiles on every player. And I framed the Kelly Wentworth one through the perspective of, was Drew Christie a prophet? Did he see something that no mm-hmm. one else saw at the time? Should we not be so surprised to see Kelly Wentworth back on Survivor? And beyond that, should we be surprised to see Kelly Wentworth potentially do well? And the thing that I had in my back pocket at the time of writing that story was that I had firsthand witnessed Kelly Wentworth put a hidden immunity idol in her back pocket during that first immunity challenge. So I already knew that there was something to look forward to with Kelly Wentworth, but I could have had no idea the ride that we would be on with going from underdog Wentworth to being like one of like the top named people when you think of the modern era of Survivor.
Sure. And I think that the answer is Drew Christie probably was more right than wrong. His handling and the execution of his plan was certainly faulty.
Bad,
but
trash.
Very
trash.
Very trashy, a hot mess for sure. But when the option was like, hey, we should vote out Julie McGee, I think he did actually have a good point in hindsight of like, Julie, why are you worried about Julie? She's not going to do anything. Now, the counterpoint is there's two other future Survivor winners on that same tribe that he could have turned his attention to in Jeremy and Natalie.
A very near winner, you know, almost a winner in Kelly Wentworth. A three-time player in Kelly Wentworth.
Mm-hmm. So it's a stacked tribe, Hunapu, in hindsight.
Hunapu, indeed. Yeah. One of the greats, and this really is a great character showcase for three people that will be very important. Obviously, just two seasons past this point, and in the case of Wentworth and Jeremy, big characters towards the end of the most recent quote unquote volume of Survivor.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pick things up at the Quayopa tribe. They've just voted out John Rocker.
Yeah, for a hot minute, I forgot John Rocker was even on Survivor. Yikes.
Yeah. The thing that you do hear, though, is that most of the San Juan del Sur cast, after the fact, they all speak very highly of him. Jeremy, Natalie, they all like him.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. I mean,
Anecdotally, they were able to separate, you know, the guy from things that he did. They liked him.
You know, I was watching the previously on, and I knew this. I think the character of Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down is based basically on John Rocker.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Man. Danny McBride does a great John Rocker impression. You know, because in the previously on, you see like a little snippet of the John Rocker versus Natalie battle where Natalie is like, why don't you atone for all the things you said in your past or whatever she says. And the cadence and delivery from John Rocker, it's just like, it sounded like Kenny Powers.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it makes sense. This is a good John Rocker impression.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah, it's just wild to me that John Rocker was on Survivor. I do think like one of the absolute best outcomes of that very bad decision was that he went home third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wasn't there for long. So Farm Guy 69, he was left out of the vote.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of Dale Wentworth in this episode.
There is. There's a lot of Dale here. The San Juan del Sur cast is crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
All right. So we go back to Hunapu, and there was a whole incident at Hunapu earlier in the season. I believe it might have been, was it the second episode where they lost to Flint and they tried to negotiate with Jeff Probst to, they had won a reward.
Yeah.
And then Jeff had said, okay, well, that for the fishing kit, I'll give you a new Flint. That's the deal.
Right. It was the delivery of the iconic, my life is fine. Mm-hmm. Negotiation, right?
Yes.
So they had to give up their fishing gear for a Flint. Like they had fought a hard won victory, and at the end of it is when they bring it up. And so it all ended up being like they just like played their hearts out for a Flint.
Yes. Yeah. So they ended up getting the Flint after it was lost. I'm not sure who the culprit was to lose it. I believe it was John Mish.
John Mish is going to be really like kicking himself over that. I mean, he's really going to be Skeet Ulrich's character in Scream. He's going to be stupid. Like he's really just going to be like hitting himself over it in the first part of the episode where I forget. I think it's like he's with Reed. And Reed's like, I can't believe we were so dumb that we left the Flint by the fire. I think John Mish is like, You mean you can't believe that I was so dumb that I left the flint by the fire?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to misplace the blame, but mm-hmm. I believe that he puts it on himself.
So they do find the flint now, and so now they have a second flint.
Yeah. They got two flints for the price of a fishing kit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hold that thought on the flint. The original flint has been found. They are going to go and have a reward challenge.
Hero Arena.
Yes.
Hero Arena is ridiculous.
Yes. Hey, do you know who do you like Hero Arena?
We like it.
Do you like Hero Arena?
Are you a fan of
Fan of Hero Arena? Do you know who wrote that?
Are you even a fan of Hero Arena?
Yeah.
Yeah. What Mike emoji White. Would you give Mike the White. Hero Arena?
Shrug emoji?
You'd give it the 100? You'd slap the 100 on it?
The titular meh emoji from the Emoji Movie?
Look, it's a good thing that there's zero chance Mike White's listening to an off-season Survivor podcast, because I feel like you're right there. I feel like you're right here. Like, I feel like your Mike White redemption story is not far away.
No, he hates redemption stories.
But you're skirting the line by bringing this up.
Yeah. So, no, the legend goes that Jeff Probst was speaking to Mike White at the time around before the filming. And Jeff Probst said to Mike White that Redemption Island was going to be back. And Jeff Probst could tell instantly that Mike White was not a fan.
Really?
Of
You're
going to
do it
Island.
On a season with Jeremy?
Yeah. He was not a fan. And Jeff Probst said that he was left gutted. He didn't want to see that sad look in a sad emotion from Mike White. And so he said, all right, guys, scrap Redemption Island. We're doing a new idea.
Hero Arena.
Redemption Island would have been fine.
You know, I like the permanence of the vote.
Redemption Island until the merge. It would have been fine. Nobody would. No, it would have been better than because they dropped this at the merge.
I guess. And like
they don't keep doing this after the merge. Why do they have to keep doing Redemption Island?
Because Redemption Island is a nightmare, and so they would just keep that going because it would have to happen. but yeah, Hero Arena right. goes by the wayside. So it's in the grand scheme of things, I think this is not one of the twists to complain too much about.
Yeah, it's fine. It's nothing.
I think it's I do like this aspect of like everybody getting into the gladiator arena, getting to like interact a little bit is fun.
Yeah, you get some fun moments where I feel like that's some of the best stuff. Where we don't like the mechanism for Redemption Island, but I feel like that there was some interesting stuff from
in
Redemption
the first
Island
blood versus water,
from South Pacific, also from the first Blood versus Water, where you get everybody together in the arena. It's very unruly. There tends to be a lot of like big reactions, and here we get the reaction of Hunapu reacting to John Rocker being voted out.
Yeah, I think the thing, on the off chance that anyone who's in the decision-making position is listening to this, I don't think that they are anymore. I think the thing to divine is, like, I think getting tribes to socially interact with each other. Let's get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it's a twist or there's just, like, a challenge that can get tribes socially interacting, that's good TV. That's fun.
I agree. Where did the summit from Millennials versus Gen X go wrong?
I don't know. I liked it.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
Like nothing happened.
Nothing really happened. I think they could have like pushed in on that though, but I feel like they have like a fairly like rote version of that and then they wrote it off. They're like, yeah, we're not going to do that ever again. Rather than just like push in a little bit. See if like you were there. Maybe you were hovering around something. I mean, like the challenge that you participated in.
Yeah, that was good.
In All Stars. Did you do that in Amazon,
too? I did it both. I did two
times. Yeah, you did both. That's one of the greats. Why did we only do it twice, and why haven't we done it since season 8?
I don't know. What do you think about a pre-merge auction? Get everybody there together. It's sort of like a little bit of a meet and greet.
We've done that. Didn't Thailand have a pre-merge
this?
Auction?
Yes, they did a pre-merge auction. Okay, how about this? You randomly have a pair from somebody from the other team, and that is your auction partner.
Rob!
You like
Ding
this?
It. Ding it a
you
second like this. Time.
And
Ding
this
it
is
twice.
And this is we could bring back the auction. We could bring back the that we the auction was broken.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, you randomly get a partner from the other team. That's your auction buddy.
Yeah. I like it.
200. No, stop.
Yeah.
You're bidding too much.
Yeah. No, okay. It's good. That's great.
How about that? That was on the fly.
I like that.
Yeah.
I also like a rock, paper, scissors tournament.
With a partner from... that would be interesting if you won a reward with if we broke the reward challenges into a couple of pairs of two and two, and you get to go on a reward with somebody from the other team.
Yeah, for sure. Look, Survivor's all about mixing things up. It's a social game.
Yeah.
Why not throw in actual mixers? Why not throw in an actual social, an ice cream social?
Well, I think that would actually be better than doing multiple tribe swaps. I think that you could keep the tribes the same, but then send people on rewards together. A little bit of exile alliance action.
Send it to Samoa. I love it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
A third belt.
Yes. There you go. We're on to something. Okay.
All right.
Josh, so it's John versus Jacqueline, yada, yada, yada. John ends up winning. He has to do a grappling hook and sending Jacqueline to Exile Island.
But we're yada, yada-ing through the best part.
Yes. What is that?
Because the best part is when everyone gets to Hero Arena and Drew Christie, who has given us this big spiel about how... All right, I think I'm going to ask Jeff if we can trade the Flint back for some of the fishing gear. And everyone's like, no.
Don't do it.
That's so embarrassing. Don't, Dad, no.
But he's going to do it. But he's going to do it.
He's going
to
do it.
Let me take you back. Let me take you back to, this is Drew Christie proposing an offer to one Mr. Jeff Probst.
One thing before we get going. Nobody else on
Wait, do you have the Flint in your hand?
Nobody else on my team really had the courage to bring this up to you. So we actually found our other Flint. This one hasn't been...
fantastic.
This one has not been struck one time.
Okay.
And I was wondering if there was some reasonable trade we could do, maybe half the fishing gear, maybe just a mask, a snorkel, and a spear, just something to put some food on the table.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
So now, because this one is still brand new, basically straight out of the box, you want to make a return.
Probst. So salty.
Yeah, he's having fun. He's having fun.
What's the more awkward proposal? The David Murphy proposal or the one Drew Christie just proposed?
Yeah. I think that the David Murphy one's still harder to watch.
Because this one's a pleasure.
This one's a joy to watch.
This is the Survivor hit job, right? That's what's happening here. And I think, again, problematic on a lot of fronts. But when it's done really artfully, because this one feels like it's done pretty artfully, is the hard fall of Drew Christie. It's hard not on a guttural level to just kind of be like, man, the world's on fire right now. And this is just I'm not going to feel that bad about feeling really good about watching this.
Yeah.
This is one of those early, early building blocks in just the greater wall that is Drew Christie's knockout hour.
Okay. Similar to Adam Klein trying something so bold in season 40 of Survivor, it ends similarly. Here is, everybody chiding Mr. Drew Christie.
Put the Flint back. You made the trade. Yeah. Good effort.
I like the effort. It was worth a try, guys. Nobody else had the balls to do it.
Yeah. Always.
Always. Yeah. It's worth having the balls to do it. Always. Yeah.
Hey, he just had the balls to do it. Nobody else did.
He had the courage. I always loved that. And I never forgot that. Never forgot how often Drew Christie leaned on the word courage about his his actions here.
Yeah.
A very courageous day there in Hero Arena.
Yes, yeah.
Drew Christie had his David versus Goliath moment. Although I believe it's Alec who's going to name check David versus Goliath.
Yeah, he will also. Alec, before the challenge, talks about how they really need a win here because they have lost so much. Here's Alec Christie.
You know, are we going to be able to pick ourselves up, or are we going to be the worst tribe in Survivor history? Who knows?
Okay. Yes. Alec opines, could we be the worst tribe in Survivor history? Josh, let me do another flashback. You and I actually discussed this back in the Evolution of Strategy, Volume 3, Chapter 29. I have a clip of that. So let's throw it to a clip of us talking, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the clip of us talking. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay. All right. Here's a
transition. This is not us anymore. This is us from the past.
Here's Rob and Josh talking about season 29 from The Evolution of Strategy.
Flashback.
Tribe in Survivor history. Is Coyope in the mix for worst tribe in Survivor history?
Are we the worst tribe in Survivor history? Who knows? Let's answer that. What do you think? I think in the conversation, absolutely.
They're in the conversation, but I don't think that they are the worst. I mean, if you were going to look at that tribe, though, they don't really have any sort of superstar. Like, if we're going to compare them to Matt Singh, at least Matt Singh produced Malcolm and Denise. At least Oolong produced a Stephanie out of this group. I mean, who's the person we're hanging our hat on? Josh?
Yeah. That's the guy. And also, if you look at the challenge record, Hunapu goes to every single tribal council in the pre-merge except for one.
And they got thrown at two.
Kelly, who's from Hunapu originally, is going to get voted out. So an original Hunapu, two original Hunapus are going to go pre-merge. But other than that, it is a straight sweep of Coyopa.
I don't feel like they're the worst tribe ever.
They're so bad that when Survivor merges these two tribes, they just give them all a Hunapu buff.
Yeah, the merged tribe color buff is very close to the Hunapu color buff.
It's like, here, Coyopa, put on this like slightly acid washed Hunapu buff.
Yeah, it's like the Hunapu color is teal and the merge color is like aquamarine.
It's just acid wash. They just took all the buffs that they had. They're just like, we can't even come. We just have to take a stance here. We have to make a stand.
Yeah.
It's a pretty bad tribe.
I hear you. I don't feel like they're the worst. I feel like it's still Oolong.
Bottom 10 easy.
Yes. Oh,
bottom
sure.
Bottom five, very likely.
Possible. Very okay. Possible. It'd be a good podcast. Okay. Debatable. Okay. All right. We're back. We're back in the real back. Time. Okay. So, Josh, we felt like that Coyopa was not the worst tribe of all time at that point in time. Have we seen a tribe in the 30s of Survivor that it could be considered the worst tribe of all time?
La 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 la.
Yes, yes. So I feel like we were sort of like conflating two different things in terms of like how much they lost and also like casting wise from Coyopa. With all due respect to the Malolos, that do you feel like that they fit the bill in terms of it being maybe flat personality-wise?
No,
I mean, you do have the greatness of Jacob Derwin.
Yeah, I think that there were great personalities on Malolo. I don't think that was
Laurel and
issue.
Jonathan come from Malolo.
Yeah, there's fun. You know, Mike Yerger's from Malolo. Like, there's a fun crew from Malolo. There's very bad luck.
Yes. Is the biggest star to come out of Coyopa, is it Nadia Anderson?
I would say it's
Josh.
Val. It's Val.
Oh, Val. Val,
yeah.
Too. You know what?
Val's on three seasons of Survivor.
Yeah, I feel like they do have some memorable figures.
Nadia's on two, but, you know, Val's on three seasons of Survivor, and I think the first of the two appearances... Yeah. Of her repeat appearances is like instrumental to Jeremy's win.
Yeah. No, I think it's still got to be Oolong. Even though Stephanie comes out of it, I mean, the rest of Oolong is not a memorable crew.
You know, how quickly you forget my stuff. But I think by and large, I agree. Like, I remember recording The Evolution of Strategy and feeling aggrieved at the existence of people who I never knew had played Survivor before.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at the time like really seared into my memory as we were talking them through. I couldn't tell you their names now. There are mm-hmm. I would say there are three people at least from that tribe that I just don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think that's still
couldn't say that about Coyopa. I think I could tell you everybody on Coyopa.
Okay. All right. So we come back after the challenge, or actually we're going to Exile Island. And so it's going to be Jacqueline, and then John Mish has to pick somebody to join Jacqueline on the Redemption Island. And he feels like that his buddy Drew is perfect. And also Drew Christie is volunteering to go to Exile Island with Jacqueline.
Yeah, he's excited.
Yes, he's excited to go to the Exile Island. And Drew, John is like, okay, that sounds okay. That sounds good. That's my friend.
He's a little concerned about it. He's like, I don't know how Drew's going to be with Jacqueline. Like, I feel a little weird about the two of them being alone together. And it turns out, like, there's maybe some reason for that because, like, Drew on Exile Island is kind of like, I'm here with a groovy chick. To put it in Greg Brady terms.
Groovy chick, but he's not here looking for women. That, you know, everybody can be relaxed. That's not what he's here to do. And it's also established here that Drew Christie is, as per Alec Christie, a ladies' man, Josh.
Yeah, he's a ladies' man.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he goes to Exile Island. He puts on his stuff.
Does he have a talk radio show where people can call in and ask questions for the ladies' man?
It wouldn't surprise me. I don't think I'd be listening.
Yeah. And so much so that Drew Christie actually can go to bars and restaurants when that was a thing. And women just end up, approaching him. Giving the digits?
Yeah, and do you have the quote of what he says in response to that allegation?
It's a curse.
He says, it's basically a curse.
Basically.
It's like the car.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So, for Drew Christie, that he is a man with a unique set of problems.
I do appreciate Jacqueline saying that this was all like the allegations, the Alec-gations. Like this is the word coming from Alec. And I just like I would love to like be a fly on the beach, hearing Alec like wax poetic about his brother's exploits.
Yeah, how'd that come up?
That must have been insufferable. That must have been pretty tough.
He's like, yeah, well, my brother, he goes to bars and women just want to date him so much, and he doesn't even have to do anything.
Yeah. Like, Alec is starting to activate in this episode, right? Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause up until this point, like, it really is just the Drew Christie show. Mm-hmm. But Alec is on his way towards activation, towards becoming like the drop-jawed juror that he will ultimately become.
Yes. Drew Christie has a plan, Josh, that he feels like, look, we cannot let you guys lose again over at Coyopa. We need to protect you. We need to protect Alec, that we have snakes on our tribe, and we need to vote them out.
On paper, given what Drew Christie is working with, that his brother is still in the game, that he feels like a strong kinship with John Mish, that he now knows mm-hmm. Jacqueline, maybe is vibing with Jacqueline. Coyopa keeps losing. He doesn't know the tribe dynamics well enough to know whether or not his brother is going to be in trouble, but it seems like Jacqueline probably would be in danger coming up soon. Mm-hmm. That on paper, I think on a season like a Blood versus Water season, where I think a lot of conventional rules are out the window because you're playing with people as like, you know, you're coming into this as new players, but with pregame alliances. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense to throw a challenge here. You expect a swap pretty soon.
Yeah.
Throw a challenge here and get rid of somebody and control like a flow of events in the game in a way that will be beneficial towards this new crew that you've created.
Yeah.
The execution of it is trash. It's trash.
Flawed messenger.
It's trash.
Yes.
It's trash. It's trash. It's trash. But the idea on paper, I think, is actually great.
Flawed messenger here in Drew Christie. Meanwhile, back at Hunapu, some other things are going on which are creating more issues among the Hunapu crew. Keith Nail had gotten a clue to the Hidden Immunity Idol when he was one of the people on the Exile Island. There are two urns. You end up like one has a clue, one has no clue. And so Keith Nail had gotten the clue. And he goes looking for said idol and can't find it. And then he says, Jeremy must have it.
Yeah, and he tells everybody, and then everyone tells Jeremy that Keith is going around saying this, and Jeremy is really not thrilled.
Yes, Jeremy's not thrilled. Angry Jeremy is always good TV.
I love when he's exasperated, and I think this season, there's a lot of it because he's just like surrounded by, I mean, this is where the famous Jeremy line comes from. These people are so dumb.
These guys are so dumb. Yeah.
You know, and like he is playing with he is an elite survivor player in Bloom right now. But he is surrounded by a bunch of, you know, numbskulls, just
right.
quote Hunter Ellis.
You know, I feel like that Jeremy's Survivor career is like a bookends of that. He has like the two exasperated games on the edges, and then he has like the one like calm, cool, collected win in the middle.
Right. Right. Yeah. But I think that San Juan del Sur is just so set apart by the fact that, like, he's just, the quality of player is just so off from what he plays against afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that speaks to something that you see on Survivor a lot, is, like, if everyone kind of looks around and is like, no, I know we're like the ragtag crew, but we've got the numbers, then ragtag crew behooves you to stick together, even if that's exasperating to the people who, quote-unquote, know the game better.
Yeah.
And don't know what sub-alliances are and mm-hmm. like that. That's a new one.
Yeah, we'll get there. We go back to Cuyopa. We see a little bit of Alec Christie talking about things. He has like a whole segment with Baylor where he's like pulling her pigtails, basically sort of like, I don't know if he is just, does he have a crush on Baylor? I don't know. It's a weird, weird moment between Alec Christie and Baylor, because they really, they end up having no relationship whatsoever in the game.
Not really that I can remember anyway. Maybe a little bit. Like, aren't there a couple of moments closeness between them? I don't know.
It's odd that Cuyopa is a weird tribe. Alec Christie, though, he does look forward into the future. We're talking about, does Drew Christie see the future? Can Alec Christie see the future?
What we need to do, get everybody on the same page and just believe that we can beat the other tribe. David can beat Goliath.
Yes. David can beat Goliath.
It's genetic.
Yes.
The Christies are telepaths.
They could see the future.
They have the power. They have the sight.
Okay.
They have the shining.
Yes. The green sight.
Yeah.
Okay. So Drew Christie eventually...
The shining. Sorry, I don't want us to get sued.
Yes. Okay. So Drew Christie is going to come back and join his tribe at the challenge. And we get a rare confessional mid-challenge, or going into the challenge, of Drew Christie posits the question, should I throw the challenge today?
Yeah.
Like, will I be throwing the challenge?
The answer is in the performance.
Most definitely. Yes. Yes. He also, before the challenge, is somehow the person also to throw the immunity idol back to Jeff, which gave me another one of my favorite Drew Christie quotes, which is...
Yep. Hot fire.
Hot fire. Hot fire coming in.
Hot fire.
Hot fire.
Remember that? He doesn't miss Jeff by like 30 feet like he would miss with the ring toss.
Yeah, he's gonna throw the rings and he's just like grandma bowling it.
Yeah, he's throwing the rings all over the place. He's letting rings like roll through his leg like Bill Buckner. He is also like going out of order, like Mickey Calloway is telling him what to do.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's a mess.
And like, yeah, and it's really like, I would love to know what was the reality of the situation, because like Cuyopa, who will win the challenge, doesn't look like they're doing great.
No.
So like Drew really has to try very hard in order to lose. It's like a next level performance that they lose the challenge.
Yeah, this is actually very similar to going back to Malolo when Dom Abate is trying to throw the challenge to vote out Bradley. And is it I don't know who they're up against, but I feel like that Donathan was with them. So I'm trying to remember who it was that they really had to try super hard to throw it. To get
I don't remember, but I know the tribe to win.
Yeah.
But at least in this case, like, it's part of the text, right? That Drew is throwing the challenge, and when they do lose, and we go back to the beach, Drew explains to us what his master plan was.
Yes, he is going to. He needs to get Kelly Wentworth out of the game. She is the mastermind.
Hot fire!
Hot fire from Drew Christie.
Yeah.
And While John Mish is saying, like, okay, well, this is now our shot because, hey, we have our loved ones. We need to vote Julie McGee out of the game because John Rocker is gone. Drew Christie is like, no, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah. He's very insistent. He's like, no, that's not how this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
We got to vote out Kelly Wentworth. Kelly Wentworth is the biggest threat in the game. You talk to her for 5 minutes and you know that she's seen every season of Survivor. She's very quiet, but she's controlling everything very quietly. And at the time, he sounds like an insane person. But yeah. In reality, he's totally right.
I mean, she is very good. His concern is that she's going to get the unite the women against the men. Although right. It's pointed out to Drew Christie many times in this episode, there are actually 5 men on this tribe.
Right. Right, but I mean, it's the votes that come in against Drew are all of the women plus Jeremy.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily incorrect. I mean, like, technically all of the women do vote with each other plus Jeremy. Mm-hmm.
But was this a self-fulfilling prophecy?
That's the question. That's mm-hmm. the question. You know, is it one of those things where you put something out into the universe and therefore now it's there? You know, now it's real. Now it's happening. You manifested this.
Yeah.
Did Drew Christie manifest Kelly Wentworth as a next level Survivor player?
Well, what happens, Josh, if Drew Christie comes back from the edge of extinction, or from, I apologize.
Listen.
If he comes back from Exile Island.
We're on a thread here.
Yes, I apologize. I apologize. So he comes back from Exile Island and just shuts his mouth. Does Julie McGee go home here?
And, like, doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Does that seem like what the momentum is going to be? Because it's going to be, John is going to be advocating for that, right?
Mm-hmm. Jeremy is pushing hard. Keith Nail should go.
Right. But it doesn't seem like anybody else really wants to vote out.
Well, Mish actually votes for Keith, even though Jeremy doesn't.
Yeah, it's a hot mess of a vote.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like one squad is very united, and then everyone else is kind of slapdash all over the place.
Yeah. Do you think that Drew is getting voted out anyway?
Not at this point, I don't think. I don't think necessarily at this point. I think Drew does come back. I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if he's like bragging to people about how he threw the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I can very easily envision that.
Yeah, because people are frustrated with him. That I do wonder who it would have been, because I'm not sure necessarily that they would have thrown Julie away right after that.
And like, what day is it? It's day 10.
Yeah. And there's definitely some weirdness with her about does she even want to be in the game if John Rocker isn't there? She is ultimately going to walk off out of the game. I feel like that there's a point, I think that's coming up, where they have a really bad rainstorm and they have to talk her into staying at one point. So her heart may not be in it. So I think she likely would have gotten voted out here.
That makes some sense. That makes some sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah. So.
But Drew, he will not. There is no wiggle room mm-hmm. with Drew Christie on this vote.
Where no,
all he will do is say it's going to be Kelly. It's going to be Kelly. And Jeremy is there, being like, "Look, Keith threw my name out.
Yeah,
you at least have to entertain this with me.
Yeah,
you're not even entertaining this with me." And Drew will not play ball. And so that's what Jeremy will look at John like, "Get him. Go get that guy, because this is not good."
Yeah, what does he say? Go get your boy.
Yeah, he says that about Drew. He's like, collect him. He is getting himself voted out of Survivor as we speak.
Mm-hmm. It's also wild that in in Second Chances, that 3 of the final 5 are here in this tribe, in Jeremy and Kelly and Keith.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's also great. Wild.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, a year later, the 3 of the 5 final people are going to be just in the mix in another season.
Something highly magical and highly accidental happened in Nicaragua in 2014.
Yeah.
In the creation of this season.
It's wild.
I think that this was like the season is like, it's like the Gremlins, mm-hmm. where like you feed them after midnight, or you like get some water on them by accident. And so this thing that you like didn't really expect to multiply suddenly multiplies.
Yeah.
And like San Juan del Sur does that, where like it produces at least like 3 really tremendous people in the Survivor pantheon. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
Some alchemy happening.
Yeah. So Jeremy is getting hot. Meanwhile, Natalie is going to talk to Missy about Drew Christie is out of control. And Missy is also beside herself. That what is he talking? There's no girls versus guys thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't even have the numbers.
Yeah. They do with Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Drew Christie is now going to, I'm not sure if he's not being heard. So he's going to push harder at this point. He's gonna push on John Mish and Reed.
When does he say the words? When does he say it? When does he say the iconic thing?
Which one? Which thing? Basically a badass?
Yeah, when he says so you have to have it. I need to hear it.
I didn't have it. I have it from the old soundboard.
All right,
so basically I'm a badass.
and the best is the under quoted and a master manipulator of this game.
Yeah.
And then he like laughs a little bit. Like, and it's like uninterrupted. That's not Frankenbited. Like that's a full quote.
Yeah. Yeah. He is, I think, exquisite. Suffering from a little bit of, I'm not sure what day it is in the game, but he ends up that it's like, what, day 11, day 12? They haven't been to tribal council yet.
Day
I think
10,
he's bored.
Day 10. Yeah,
he's bored.
He's bored. It's day 10. I think he's bored, and I think everyone else is like over it.
Yeah.
You know, it's day 10 at this point, swap looming. We can cut this guy.
Mm-hmm. So
I think is probably the agreed upon move here.
So he's getting hot with John and Reed, and he's telling them that basically they have to she's gonna Kelly Wentworth, she is going to get all these B words together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good.
And Kelly Wentworth is like right in earshot.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, she's like, what?
Yeah, she's like, nope, that will not stand. This person, this is not, yeah, this is not tolerable. This is an untenable situation.
Yeah, Kelly Wentworth is like,
oh, hell no.
Yeah, a hard pass. Hard pass on Drew Christie at this point, if it hasn't already occurred.
Yeah. So then we're going to see the girls go back and talking with Jeremy about what they want to do. Everybody's all over the place. John Mish wants to go after Julie. Drew Christie wants to go after Kelly. Jeremy still wants to go after Keith.
Yeah. So we're entering tribal and we're not entirely sure what's going on. Mm-hmm. At this point.
Yeah.
Also, Keith has an idol at this point, right?
He does. He finds the idol in this episode.
The idol jumped up and scared me a bit.
Yes. Yeah. It jumped up and scared him. I don't really understand how the idol, he poked it with a stick and it sort of like, leapt.
Yeah. The power like, leapt out at him.
Mm-hmm. So
freaked him out.
Freaked him out a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
We go to tribal council and then we're talking about Missy says half this tribe is selfish.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to think of who's on the tribe and does that sound right to me?
So I think this was an underreported story of that. I think that the Hunapu tribe, I think they just ate all their rice. I think that that was part of it. But because it's going to end up coming to a head when Missy goes to Coyopa and then she's going to serve so much rice. But I'm not sure if that's what she's talking about, because if you listen to Dale Wentworth tell the story, that Missy is just like, oh, I got to feed my boys. Like, so
right,
I don't know if she's talking about food. Food, or I don't know who she's saying is selfish.
Yeah, I mean, I buy it. I look at the roster. Like, I don't want to name names, but mm-hmm. like, I could see it. Mm-hmm. I could see it.
Yeah,
I could see it for sure.
Okay. Then we're talking about Drew Christie in the challenge. Jeff is like very hard on them. He's like, you guys got beat by somebody that could be your grandfather. I'm like, I'm just, like, I don't know why Kelly isn't offended of like, well, he could also just be my dad.
Yeah, he could just be my dad.
Like, is there a big age difference between Drew Christie and Kelly Wentworth?
No, not really, right? Yeah. Like, I think they're both in their 20s.
How could he be Drew Christie's grandfather?
that Dale could be? Well, I think it is. I do believe it's biologically possible.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're farm guy 69.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. Are you really leaving?
No, I dropped something. Okay. I had to go and bend over and pick it up.
Okay. And then we get into a whole thing about Jeremy and Keith Nail.
Yeah, this is great, because like the Keith and Jeremy thing will go across two seasons.
Yeah.
Of like all of these times where Jeremy will be trying to like play the game with Keith, and for whatever reasons, Keith is just not playing back. Where Jeremy's like, you went and told everyone that I have an idol. And he's like, well, I assumed that you had the idol because I couldn't find it. And Jeremy's like, well, then why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you ask me if we're supposed to be together? Because previously on reminds us that Jeremy has a lot of respect and appreciation for Keith, not just as a fellow fireman, but also because he was out there with Val and he'd volunteered to go out there with Val and everything. And Keith says that no one would do that. And Jeremy's like, yeah, that's how you play Survivor.
Right.
You tell me the thing, and like if you and I are working together, then we don't, you know, share that with anyone else.
Yeah.
It's a sub-alliance.
I think there always needs to be a Keith whisperer. Jeremy is not a Keith whisperer. Like, there needs to be somebody else that, like, can calm Keith down, so be able to talk to him. Kelly is a good Keith whisperer. I think that Natalie, at times, is a very good Keith whisperer.
I mean,
yeah.
Natalie's endgame is predicated on Keith whispering.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those are the only kind of whispers I like.
For the Keith whispering?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Natalie even gives us a good Keith Nail impression here about what went on back at camp with Keith Nail and Jeremy.
I'll tell you one thing. Jeremy got that idol.
You don't get a lot of Natalie in this episode because like the trick that they try to pull with Natalie... is that it's like a Kill Bill thing, you know, by the end of the season, that now she has to get vengeance for Jeremy getting blindsided. So they wait a while until they start really turning up the heat on her story. But she's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Jeremy probably should not have brought up the sub-alliance at Tribal
probably
Council.
Not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Ideally
probably
not.
Yeah. I
ideally
think you sub-tweet that, you know? Like, that's something where, like, you don't want it to be, like, mega obvious that that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Ultimately, Natalie describes this group with the titular, we're a hot mess.
We're a hot mess, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, yeah, it's about to get a lot messier.
Yeah.
As Gak falls from the ceiling.
Gak?
Yeah.
No.
It's like Nickelodeon.
No, please. I hate slime.
Yeah. Did you ever watch those shows? Where
I used to watch You Can't Do That on Television. Yeah.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah.
I could do the whole thing, but...
Yeah, should that be in the season 3, episode 7 Fishbowl?
Yes, yes, yes. You Can't Do That on Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast should absolutely be on the wheel.
Somebody should watch the episode first. We have no idea what's going on in the show.
So yeah. I believe
that there's a arcade where there are hamburgers that are made out of kids.
Is that correct?
I think that they're like, what do you think's in the burgers? I think that was like a punchline on the show.
Yeah, I know that if you messed up and if you spoke out of school, you would get a big like
slime.
Yeah, you'd get slime.
If you said I don't know, you get slime.
I don't know. That's it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Poor Rudy, he'd be slime.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine the Blair Witch Project challenge, except sponsored by You Can't Do This on Television.
Be a lot of slime going on.
So that'd be a messy challenge.
Okay. Josh, our votes are going to come in, and it will be
a
hot mess of votes.
It's a hot mess. It's scattered everywhere.
Yeah. As promised, a hot mess.
5-2-1-1 vote.
Yes. Okay. We will have four votes for Drew Christie. We will have two votes for Julie McGee. I believe that is Keith Nail, and that is Reed.
Yeah, and it's going to be John is voting for Keith. So how did that happen?
I think that Jeremy must have told him.
Yeah.
Vote for Keith.
Yeah.
So then we also have our vote for Kelly, which is Drew Christie.
Yeah.
And then we have our votes for Drew, which are Natalie, Missy, Jeremy, Julie, and Kelly.
Yeah. And that's it for Drew Christie. That's all he wrote.
That's all he wrote. Very sad.
Yeah. He got himself voted out of Survivor. This one is fully on you, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Seemed like he was in a fine position, ultimately. Hard to really think about a, you know, one episode arc for a character that rivals this one.
The Garrett one comes to mind if you break that off as half an episode, but not mm-hmm. even really.
Yeah, maybe some of the first boots have this.
Yes. Yeah.
It's rare that a, you know, fourth boot has like a first boot type episode.
Yeah.
Where you get so much of them and ultimately their downfall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really all eyes on Drew Christie for so much of this. And like really just like watching him self implode, self destruct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With glee.
With glee.
You know, right. He's like laughing to the grave. It's a wild ride. It's a killer ride, as Antonio Mazzaro says.
It is a killer ride. All right, Josh, before we get into our San Juan del Sur and Drew Christie-themed wand-off today, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Honey. Honey is ready to save you money. Head on over to joinhoney.com/RJP to download the Honey browser extension for free. Everybody's doing a lot of online shopping, but how do you know you're getting the best price? All these websites, they've got that little box promo code. It's like, boy, I know there's got to be a code out there somewhere. You're like Keith Nail. You've got a clue. You know there's a promo code somewhere, but you wish that there was a way that they could just jump out at you
and scare you.
That's where Join Honey, without the scaring part, this is where you are going to come in and is going to save you a lot of money where you could basically be a badass yourself. Honey is the free online shopping tool that saves you money online. It's going to automatically find you the best promo code and applies them to your cart, which makes online shopping finally feel as easy as it's supposed to be. You could be shopping on your favorite sites, Target, Best Buy, Sephora, Macy's, eBay, Etsy, Walmart. All you do is once you have the items in your cart, you end up hitting the button for Honey on your Google Chrome browser, and it is going to start trying every single possible code to find you the one that saves you money. I've used this on basically any website that I go to. I find that it works especially great. Flowers, if you're going to be sending flowers, basically any store that you go to online, I have done really great work with things that like printing stationery online. Do a lot of printing for Rob Has a Podcast. I've used it on stuff like that as well. It's going to save you a lot of money. It's found its users. It's 18 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Do you know that Honey supports 30,000 stores online? They're adding more every day. Users love Honey. That's why it has over 100,000 five-star reviews on the Google Chrome store. Not using Honey is literally passing up free money. It's free to use and installs in a few seconds. Plus, it's backed by PayPal, so you know you can trust it. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up. Shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wand-Off. It's the Wand-Off forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life. If you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice, you want to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the Wand-Off. It'll be here forever.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. We are ready with our episode number 4, Wand-Off of the off season.
Week 4.
Always a special week in the Wand-Off, Josh.
I hope no different this week.
Yes.
Even without the fishing gear, Drew Christie brought in a feast for us, I would think.
Yes, yes, without the fishing gear. Yes, this was a haul on the Wand-Off this week. But still, we have to talk about week number 3 on the Wand-Off. And this is the biggest runaway we've ever had in the Wandoff in week number three with 8% of the vote. In third place, it was Kentucky Bevin with Kathy Peed with 9.6% of the vote. It was Sarah G with Respect and with a 70% vote.
My goodness.
It was James from Canada to talk about Boston Rob. Here is your winning Wandoff from week number three.
Boston Rob is running Marque Sauce. Boston Rob is running Marque Sauce.
Hey, Sean. Can I talk to you over here?
Yeah, okay. James from Canada, great job. The biggest blowout in the history of the Wandoff.
That's got to be, right? I can't imagine.
I mean, nobody has ever won the Wandoff by over 60 percentage points. So, incredible, running up the score.
That's like a Redemption Island Boston Rob performance.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Josh, last week we just had a top five, but I hear on the internal Slack that Casey Kasem had messaged me to say that we'll be going back to a regular format this week. So here he is, the host of the Wandoff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it's a pleasure to be back here with you to talk about one of my favorite contestants, Drew Christie.
Yeah. Casey, I'm glad to hear that you're finally cutting yourself some slack. Lord knows you deserve it.
Josh, I was tired of all the emails back and forth with that bastard, Rob Cesternino.
Yeah, he's a really bad guy.
He's not my kind of guy.
No, he's basically a bastard.
Yeah. All right. Okay, thank you. Can we move along with it? Whatever you say. And I'll redact what I was going to say next.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Josh, we'll kick off this week's honorable mentions with a song from Miss Kristen Y, all about the man of the hour.
Sparking everywhere. I found you, missing flint piece. Let's go to Jeff and trade it back to him. Get some fishing gear, or just half of it. We'll just ask him about it, then see what he do.
That is from Bubba Travis Sparks.
That's good. Man. We didn't even talk about, like, the flint was like pretty ragged when they found it, and it was just next to the fire the whole time, and for days no one saw.
I think it was buried under some ash, and then they were trying to give Jeff back the flint that had not been used as like, okay, hey, this, but this it, is new it. Flint.
Yeah, that's right, and it really is like fresh out the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could use this for another season if you wanted to, Jeff.
Yeah,
you could use this for Worlds Apart. Just use it.
Just keep it.
Yeah. So, that's the new flint. Okay. Josh, next up is Matt from Chicago with some blatant Josh Wiggler pandering.
I love it.
Drew Christie, try to vote out our favorite Kelly. Drew Christie, instead you got punked out by Natalie. Drew Christie, basic badass, maybe you do better with the challenge cast.
He would probably be good on that, right?
I think he would be good. That's from Drew Christie, superstar. Okay. Josh, that's fine. Next up, here comes Dan from Colorado with a song that's a blast from your past.
From mine specifically?
Ring of gold, a ring of blue, and I won't land a toss. And swimmers weak, retrievers meek, I shall blame for this loss.
look, everyone, like, it's hard enough for me to be coming back to be talking about Survivor on this sustained basis. Do you really have to bring Game of Thrones back into it, too?
Don't blame me. It was Dan from Colorado with the dang reins of Castamere.
That's good. That was worth it. That was worth it. That's good.
Josh, sometimes when you're on a podcast, you talk about something with my boss, Rob Cisternino, and it manifests itself into a wand off. And that's the case here from Michael from Rochester.
I am a badass.
The manipulator of this game.
This tribe won't win if I say that we can't. I am a badass.
The manipulator of this game.
I'll squash this girl's alliance like an ant. This big move will make me a kingpin. I'll win this whole game in a pinch. I am a badass. Let's vote out that witch.
Steve Martin Piombo.
It was from the musical Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know.
And finally,
you love Little Shop.
Yeah,
you love. Little
I love
Shop.
It. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You love Little Shop.
Yes. Yeah.
I would have loved to have been in Little Shop. That would have been fun.
Mm-hmm. Who would you have been?
I think I would have loved. I think I'm probably a Seymour type.
You'd be Seymour.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or I would be happy to be fed to the plant. That could be fun, too.
Yeah, get to jump in the giant thing.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And Josh, our last honorable mention for this week comes from James, Chelsea, and Charlotte from Canada with a song about a lovable tribe and a lovable fictional character.
Previously on Survivor...
Out on a South Pacific coast, under the Nicaraguan haze, on a beach in the town of San Juan del Sur, a survivor tribe spends its days. A redneck named Keith Mill drawls his words. A badass
or moron
named Drew. There's Missy and Kelly, both who scowl all on the tribe Hoonapoo. Hoonapoo, poo, Hoonapoo, poo. Gripey little tribey, all rife with strife. That's Hoonapoo, poo, Hoonapoo, poo. Willy nilly silly old tribe.
That was from Sonia Christopher Robin.
Speaking of honey.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
loves
honey.
Loves honey.
Yeah.
That kind of sounded like a Raffy number.
Okay.
I mean that with the utmost respect.
Are you a Raffy guy?
Loved Raffy.
You
How
did?
Could I not? He had a song called Joshua Giraffe.
Oh, okay.
Did you not know that?
You know what? That Raffy
Joshua
was...
Joshua Giraffe.
He was...
feeling kind of sad.
Not my
bad.
Generation. And then also that my kids do not know who Raffy is.
I am wasting away with no room to play. Trapped in a zoo with buffalo poo.
Oh, no, buffalo poo.
Yeah, it was the poor fate of Joshua Giraffe. Walk-a-to, talk-a-to.
Yikes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That was my anthem when I was a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Effin' love Joshua Giraffe. That's my guy.
Josh, are you ready for the top three songs here in Wombats Nation? Of course, you can vote all week long at robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. The tabulator, Kurt Clark, is standing by to count up the votes and find out who's going to win this week's slap bracelet.
And I do just want to take a quick second to wish a very special happy birthday to Kurt Clark.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday. Let's ding that bell. Happy birthday today, June 22nd or June 23rd, depending on when this drops.
You don't have Facebook anymore, yeah.
Or June 24th. Basically, any day left in June could be Kurt's birthday, and I just want to make sure to wish him a happy
He's
birthday.
He's busy enjoying the Floor is Lava episodes.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Kurt, who is one of my many partners in crime on the Top Chef podcast. We just did our finale episode over at Reality TV Rehap Ups We're getting back together soon to do like a forecasting of what is the future of Top Chef possibly look like. And then we're brainstorming some ideas of how to keep food podcasting going forward. So hopefully that little squad has, you haven't heard the last from us. It's one of my favorite things that I get to do on the microphone.
Okay. All right. Josh Wiggler, are you ready for the top three songs in Wombat's Nation?
I am.
Okay. The number one song for this week comes to us from the duo of Aaron Robertson and Nick Fishman.
Wow, Aaron, take a break. You just did Survivor the Musical. Just relax.
And is also hosting the Karma Recap on Reality TV Rehab.
There's a lot going on. I just realized, by
no
the way,
breaks for Aaron Robertson.
In an alternate timeline, it's Wiggler's Wombats versus Joshua's Giraffes.
Mmm.
I should have gotten to the patent before Raffy. Maybe we can use those slap bracelets after the podcast.
What will you do to Raffy?
Nothing. I'll just talk. We're just going to talk.
Yeah. Okay.
Go for a little walk or two, talk or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll come back with hats that are yellow and spotted brown. And it'll say Joshua's Giraffes.
And we'll know.
Those would be good hats.
That would be good.
Anyway,
okay.
Just a thought.
All right.
Would they need ears on the hats?
Little ones? You could do little ones. That might be expensive to put those on there.
Yeah, probably too much to mass produce.
Yeah. Okay. Here's Aaron Robertson and Nick Fishman.
One of a kind guy, clueless, cocky combo. A fist catcher, not a meat collector like his bro. I'm basically badass and I'll control it all. But the fans would make a different call.
Why?
Since Drew Christie made his pound, worried if he would misbehave with his girl. Then Drew Christie had the worst ring toss try. It made Jeremy want to hurl. Drew Christie thought he could boo a future queen and it would not be split. Oh, Drew Christie. I couldn't trust him to raise money with a viral ice bucket. Many painful things to see on the screen. But Drew is easily the worst of 2014. Mysteries of Laura, I wanna marry Harry.
Can't hold a candle to Drew. Wow, that's scary.
Wow, Drew Christie.
I can't imagine having him as a brother.
The game of Drew Christie.
Worse than the ending of the show, How I Met Your Mother.
Rude Drew Christie.
He wanted to return the flint with no receipt.
Idea of Drew Christie.
Was as brutal as watching Utopia on repeat.
Was Utopia happening in 2014?
It was the Sights and Sounds of 2014 from Pharrell J. McCanis.
Wow. Pharrell J. McCanis.
Pharrell, not an easy one to do a name for.
No, I think Pharrell J. McCanis is good. It takes you a second, and then when it clicks in, you know, it doesn't disrupt the podcast like Kelly R-E-M-I-N-G-T-O-N, but it's good when it clicks. When it hits, it's good.
Next up, the number two song in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Davis, Will, talking about Drew Christie in this week's Immunity Challenge.
A lot of pressure.
I could watch this show just to see Drew Christie. Have his blind side orchestrated and see his ego be deflated. He sees himself as a great negotiator. Not to mention he's a master manipulator. But when it comes to Kelly, he really seems to hate her. He's flirting with Jacqueline. He's bartering with the Flint. He
tried to throw the challenge to. I don't think it worked out for Drew. He's Drew Christie, babe, and he's no good at tossing rings.
Wow.
That was a ballad from the band Papa Barrowsmith.
Papa Barrowsmith. Oh, man. I just it just takes you back, right? You can see John Mish putting the animal crackers on Jacqueline's belly as they're thinking back to it. If you don't remember Armageddon, that's
remember the movie.
Yeah, Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler do that. And I just want to make sure that everyone remembers that.
Yeah. You know, I much prefer,
I know you're more of a Deep Impact guy.
I was going to say that some of my favorite, food naval movie, moments, are maybe more from Hot Shots when, Charlie Sheen cooks the breakfast on, the stomach of, the woman that was Pee Wee Herman's girlfriend in, Big Top Pee Wee.
Was that part one or part two?
I believe that was,
Yeah,
good question.
Remember.
I'll say part one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say part two just to say it again.
I normally try to keep food out of the belly button.
You normally try to keep food out of everything, you monster.
But that's my least favorite food.
Belly button food?
Yeah. Let's get out of this.
Button's got to eat.
Yeah. Josh, our third and final song here in the Wandoff comes to us from another one of the Wandoff greats. Here's Michael J. Clark with another song about a ring toss.
He's always got, he's the man with the plan, and then when the plan fails, he's like, well, you're still in.
What plans have failed, though?
The case before us is that of a Christie. Thinks himself Aris, but plays more like Misty. Sleeps on the job and tries to return Flynn. Wait till you see when he has to toss rings. Smirks in confessional, says, call me a badass. John says, watch Jacqueline's back, only hears fat ass. For some strange reason, wants to vote Wentworth. Won't make sense now, but a death will henceforth. His plan, so be it. Coyopa, they win. He won't be swimming. He'll be a villain. You want these rings? No thanks. Just toss it. I grab it. I toss it. I miss it. I want it. I grab it. I toss it. I miss it. I want it. I grab it. I toss it. I miss it. I want it. Did I make one? Oh, man. I blew it. I grab it. I toss it. I miss it. I want it. I know I'm not lame. I'm a manipulator of this game, bro.
That is from the great artist Rob Mariana Grande.
Amazing. Some Sound of Music sampling in there too. That's another great movie of
Sound of Music
of eating food out of a belly button. There's a great scene where Maria von Trapp eats chocolates out of Georg von Trapp's belly button.
Yeah, I'm very uncomfy with the whole thing.
It's just a vessel.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Josh.
You don't like chocolate.
Chocolate's fine.
Just not out of a belly button.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's ideal. Josh Wiggler. Of course. All these songs are compiled by the great Randy Neupel in our SoundCloud playlist that you could listen to every week as a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. So until next time, keep your feet on the ground and your food out of my belly button. Okay. Oh, Casey Kasem. He doesn't like it either.
Yeah, well, the microphone really picks it up. So, you know, you do want to keep the food out of the belly button while we're podcasting, at least.
Ideally.
What also would have been ideal is if people had showed up with an It's Karate Time wand off, and I'm really disappointed.
That only went up yesterday.
Yesterday.
Next week.
Release the instrumental track.
Will from America.
Yeah. You coward.
Yes. Okay. Josh, next week, episode 5. What do you want to set the slap bracelets and the didgeroo to?
Well, I'm having fun with these pre-merge episodes in which castaways throw challenges.
Yes.
And I think it would be fun to go to another season of Survivor in which a challenge is thrown, in controversial fashion. And I'd like to go to season 15, Survivor China. In which poor Aaron Riceburger. Is it Riceburg? Mm-hmm. Riceburger?
We'll find out.
One of the most often cited swap screwed people in Survivor history.
Mm-hmm.
A bad idea for a swap. Also, a really unfair swap mechanic from Survivor, I do think.
Yeah, ours is much better.
Ours is so good.
Yeah,
the mixers.
Yeah,
it's a great idea. A two person auction, such a good idea, Rob.
Thank you.
Anyway, we're gonna do Survivor China. We're gonna do Survivor China, and I think that's gonna be a blast because I think that season's amazing, and it's gonna be really fun to revisit.
Okay. All right. So excited about that. Next week, Survivor China, episode number 5 for anybody who wants to go ahead.
Season 15, episode 5.
Okay.
Season 15, episode 5. That's season 15, episode 5 for anybody who is adding us, wondering what episode we're talking about next
okay,
week.
We will be
discussing Survivor China, which is season 15, episode 5.
S15.
S15E5.
Yes. Okay.
15E5.
You're right. Josh, what else do you have going on these days?
So I mentioned the Top Chef podcast, which we are continuing. Everything is Super, the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We just posted our Guardians of the Galaxy podcast over the weekend. Kevin Mahadeo and I are going to be getting back together very soon to talk about Avengers Age of Ultron, second Avengers movie on the board. There's a big Twitter movement, Rob, to get Kevin Mahadeo and I to turn you and Akiva into superheroes for an episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast.
Turn us into superheroes.
Yeah, that was the thought. I think Shut Up Tim said we should watch an episode of The Cape, and I don't know why.
What is The Cape?
It was a show.
Stan Lee reality show?
No, I don't think so. Unless maybe that was it, but I think that there was also like a drama called The Cape.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, let's not do that. Let's just turn you into superheroes.
Okay. Akiva famously hates superheroes.
Yeah, so maybe you're the superhero and he's the supervillain, and we're going to turn you into Batman and the Joker.
Yes, yes. I like that. That'd be good, too.
Yeah, that's good, too. Or it's a Batman and Robin thing. I don't know. We can explore it.
Yeah. I would put it on the wheel right now.
Yeah, we could explore that. We're also exploring the Island Man on Down the Hatch with myself and Mike Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
We're up to 3 minutes. The penultimate episode of season 2. Three minutes. So we're getting very close to the end of the line on season 2. Also, the great AJ Mass and I just recorded a preview podcast for the final season of Netflix's Dark.
Yes.
The time-bending German drama on Netflix, which is dropping the entirety of its final season on June 27th, 2020. AJ and I are doing, we recorded a preview show about that, and we will be doing one more podcast that's like a full final season binge podcast. It'll be full spoilers sometime next week, just to give you a little bit of Dark coverage, because that's a really, really great show that you should be watching.
Okay.
Only if you like dark stuff. The name, it's as advertised.
Yes. Dark. If you don't like dark stuff, don't watch. Don't listen to a podcast about dark.
It's intense. It's intense. It's a very intense show.
Okay. Josh. Well, this was so much fun today.
Get
to talk about Drew Christie. Yes.
There's another podcast that will be coming your way from myself and a couple of other people very soon. And it's very exciting. And it's about a show from a long time ago.
Okay.
That I've never watched before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not scripted.
Hmm. Okay.
But it involves, the title involves... a word that is used in a phrase that I have used many times on podcasts over the years.
Okay.
Those are the clues. Can you figure it out?
Lots of clues.
You won't have to wait too long to find out what the podcast is.
All right. Very cryptic.
Very cryptic.
Yes.
Appropriately so.
Appropriately cryptic. All right.
Yeah.
Josh Wiggler.
Very excited about that.
Great job. For people that are watching, people are asking, where are you?
I'm in my guest room.
Guest room.
They've been doing construction on my building.
Yes.
So right outside the window where I usually podcast from, they're just drilling away.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it right now. It's 8 p.m. But my podcast setup has moved for the time being.
Yes.
Are people sad that Austin isn't here? Should I make
no,
sure
that
No, but
people
Austin-
are just confused. I feel like they know you, and then it's like they're used to you in your regular Skype room. They're like, is Josh having like a Zoom background or what?
If I'm not giving you whiplash, am I really Josh Wiggler? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right. Well, we got a lot going on. Also, I've got patron trivia coming up tonight, and then we'll play our first ever patron mafia game on Tuesday night.
Ooh.
Excited about that. So we have a lot of patron stuff coming up.
That's exciting.
Plenty of podcasts coming your way. Of course, if you want to find out more about everything we're doing, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Austin Rob is running Marque Sauce. Austin Rob is running Marque Sauce.
Hey, Sean, can I talk to you over here?
Over here.
Hunter may not know it, but his end is near.
His end is near.
I may have taken a few bumps, and my ego is bruised.
My ego is bruised.
But I'll make you an offer. You won't refuse.
You won't refuse.
I may not be the big man that I wanna be, but I'll sit here on the beach and quote Godfather by a tree. Boston Rob is running Marque Sauce. He tells him what to do while he snuggles with Sarah. Mirmu, don't you see what just happened on TV? You may think he's a knob, but there's no one there like Boston Rob. Boston Rob is running Marque Sauce. His tribe just takes her orders and then they carry on. And on the other beach, their hands all smell like pee. He runs it like a mob, cause there's no one there like Boston Rob. Rob, Boston Rob, Rob. And on the other beach, their hands all smell like pee. He runs it like a mob, cause there's no one there like Boston Rob.